Good morning. Looks like one of them Just Us Chickens days. Good morning to you. I think we stayed at the store longer than you all did yesterday. But you walked around like you were doing more than dessert. Couldn't decide. Okay. We went to Publix last night in our neck of the woods up there and happened to see all the Richburg gals. All of them that live in the Richburg house, that is. I'm going to pick up, and we're gonna talk through what we started talking through last week. So we looked at a couple of passages, and we were talking about being church and living in the family of God. So I want to look at the Acts passage again real quick. I'm not going to talk through it or anything, just kind of remind us what we were using as a frame of reference. And we focused a whole lot, at least I did, on the word devoted when we looked at it last week. That these people, once they responded to the gospel, they were devoted to each other. They were devoted to the things that were being preached and taught about Jesus. They were devoted to being together and sharing life. It was not something that was an option like on a buffet in life. It was something that they were committed to. There was no question. I don't know about you, but there have been times in life where in order to keep my focus, in order to keep me in the place where I felt like God wanted me to be, I just had to make a categorical decision that there were things that I was going to do and things that I wasn't going to do. And just realize that I was not going to be outside the lines. I was going to be inside the lines. And that kept me safe, kept me focused, it kept me where God wanted me to be. That's kind of what happened here. These people, once they responded to the gospel, they were devoted to being a part of the family of God. It was not an option. And all these other things were just about sharing life. So with that kind of background, let's talk a little bit about some questions that we never got to last week. So John, if you kind of scroll down to, I think it's the last slide. Talking about being God's family and how can we live it more fully? How can we make a difference in the way that this family that God's brought us to exists? How it lives, how it goes about its day-to-day. So here's some questions. First of all, pop it up there, John, for me, if you would, please. There we go. So what keeps people from really being God's family? I think I asked that one last week, and we kind of sort of got to it, but I don't know if we got finished with it. So what is it that keeps people from really being God's family? Lack of faith? Okay. All right. Lack of knowledge? Yes. Okay. Understanding word? Okay. So, you know, we're talking about being devoted to, okay? So we're being devoted to the things that we're taught about Jesus, what God has revealed to us in Scripture, yes. Also, trusting that, okay? Faith has to do with trusting that which has been revealed, okay? And is constantly being revealed to us. Okay, what else? Fear, okay? Okay, all right. So fear, and then we'll okay, all right. Fleshliness, okay? All right. Yes, okay. The fears, okay, the fears of really being known, okay? It's kind of like you and I know that the people that we live with, the people who are in our family, those people know us warts and all most of the time. They know, that, you know, they can remember back whenever I was 15 years old, 16 years old, and they can remember the stupid thing that I did, right? The people know me that well. Well, sometimes we intentionally don't like to engage because we don't want people to know our stuff. Now, how does that not line up with the gospel? What we know about who God's made us to be? Can we really hide anything? Maybe for a time, right? But even in the world, don't we eventually kind of get found out? And it's usually a lot uglier. Okay. Talk to some really rich people these days who have spent some money getting their kids into college. Find out if it doesn't eventually catch up to you. So we don't want to be... Yeah, Anthony, go ahead. Yes. Then we have the other side of that in that we've been either abused or mistreated or we ourselves have been complicit in dysfunction in other parts of God's family. You know, sometimes we bring it on ourselves and we're a part of the problem. Sometimes, you know, it's something that we observed, we don't like, we don't want to be any part of that. Okay, yeah, okay. All right, I think those are all real, genuine things that keep people from being a part of God's family. Sadly. Okay. Next question, John. So what draws people to be active in God's family? Acceptance, peace, okay, want to be wanted, okay, the idea of somebody wanting you, okay? I think it's extension of acceptance, but yes, okay? Okay, it can be fun. It's fun. I mean, it is fun to get together and do things with family when there are no agendas, issues, and we're all just being there for each other. What did Jesus say? I think I said something about this last week. Jesus said, how would people know that you are my disciples? By what? How you love one another. You know, I think that what draws people to church is when they see church, they see the family of God doing all the healthy things that we ought to be doing. Supporting one another, helping one another, praying for one another, being there for one another, sometimes defending one another when it's called for. Those things, all those things that you would expect in a family that are good things, that a family should do, protect, nurture, help, support, all those things. People see those things really happening. They are drawn to that because they know that they need that and that they want that. You know, I've told you before, and I have this conviction, that even people who are not believers, people who don't have any sphere of influence that has anything to do with the church, I believe that even if they're atheists, that they want to see believers live what they say they believe. And it really bugs them to the point of they'll complain, gripe, and accuse when they don't see us living up to what they know that we're saying we believe. And I think that's the other side of this coin. Yeah, yeah, he said it. Yeah, so did, I mean, Lou Alcindor said it too, you know, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. He said the same thing. Exactly the same thing. In our culture, they do. Yes. And I think it's because as much as some people would like to say they don't know, they know because they've been around the culture, even though they may say they want to reject that, but they know, at least in this culture. John, next question. So, you know, we have life groups, okay? People that, groups of family, okay, family of God, that meet in homes or some other place outside of this large group gathering that we do on Sunday. What would make those gatherings more like family? Or are they like family? Okay. Okay, you can, yes, yes. So, which is what we hope. The question is, what could make that environment more like family? And I understand this is subjective. This is based on your experience in those kind of groups as we do them. So tell me a little bit about that then. Mm-hmm. Yeah, good example. I can tell you from my experience, you know, right now we're down a car and I've already borrowed vehicles from two people while I'm down a car. And that has to do with being a part of this congregation and a part of, and then more specifically, people in my life group. Anybody go see any kids do stuff recently? Anybody else's kids? You know, we tried during whatever the season is, try as much as we can to catch what's going on. You know, the other day we got an impromptu recital from David Westfield. We didn't realize that little David was learning the piano, and he sat down and man, he's good. He did a great job. I knew he was 20. He's working on three instruments right now. To be able to go, man, David, that's okay, that's a little family thing. Knowing that we care. You guys ever, other than cupcakes, you guys ever share meals? Do stuff together like that? So, helping one another, sharing meals, worshiping together, talking about the word together, praying for each other. Those are all, that's family stuff. And then getting outside the group too, okay? And going to be a part of stuff. I mean, we've gone to watch kids play games and kids do stuff. And yeah, kingdom cause as being family. And the cool thing is that, you know, Gary, there was some people who were kind of outside that kind of got a chance to be a part of that and see that because we were together doing that pretty good. And the cool thing is it was pretty comfortable for everybody. That's a pretty remarkable thing. Think about it. So I encourage you to be praying and considering and sharing with your life group leader in your group things that you believe you can do to help that environment become even more and more like family, okay? Because we're the ones that are responsible for that. It's not just a leader's job to do that. It's the family's job to do that. So we want to make sure we do that. John, question. So how can we engage more people in life groups? Invite them, okay? What, sir? I'm sorry. In the community, okay? You know, making sure that here's the deal. We fall into the rut, I believe, in America, in focusing entirely too much on what happens on Sunday here. I am not saying there's anything that we shouldn't be doing on Sunday, okay? We are supposed to gather, okay? We happen to do it on Sunday. It's kind of what our culture does. But the reality is there's more points of contact than just Sunday. And so the cool thing about our smaller groups, our life groups, is they meet in homes or other places that are more centrally located or are in some way focused in some way in a different dynamic than the large congregation. And so we have a point of entry into the life of the family. That point of entry is just as valid as this one. And I think that our culture misses that altogether. Church culture in America says everything about church is Sunday morning. And we miss the fact that we have all these other points of entry that are just as valuable into the life of the family of God. Tim. I mean, again, all of them are, every point of entry into the family of God is a valid point of entry. And that's not to say that we should necessarily be satisfied with that and not ever try to get people to be more ingrained into the family, which means being a part of, you know, the entire ministry of the people of God. But we take people where they are. How can we engage more people who are here in life? We know, yeah, we can invite, but, you know, truthfully, we've probably done a pretty good job of inviting. So what is it that we need to communicate? How do we communicate how essential and how valuable what goes on in those separate times might be? Most certainly we need to be making sure that we talk about that in those groups. But then again, when we're, you know, one of the things that we want to do as we're transitioning, okay, as we move from where we are right now in this location, okay, we are still the people of God. We're going to be the people of God here. We're going to be the people of God whenever we get to Georgetown. We're going to be the people of God in between, okay, wherever we are. But it is an opportunity for us to recast a vision for what we believe God has given to us in this idea of big church, small church, big family, small family at the same time. And instead of saying it's one or the other, to say it's both and, but we understand it's a point of contact depending on, you know, what, how we work that God's given to us to leverage it. Okay. I can't imagine being, and this is now, whenever I was a teenager, my family just went on Sundays and we didn't really have anything to do with church throughout the week at all. My mom was a single mom. She had three kids that she was rearing as a single mom most of the time until I was 16. Then things changed. But in those days, you know, we didn't go do too much during the week because we were all running pillar to post. That's where my mom was. So what would have made a difference for us to be more engaged? The problem was we would have had to have gone to the building to go be engaged. because everything took place at a building that was, you know, 10, 12 miles away. And it's kind of the same. You see where I'm going with this? Okay. We need to find a way at this opportunity, as we're in transition, to try to engage more people in this very, very important part of who we are. And we've got to invite, we've got to find ways to communicate the things that really do happen in those smaller groups. And that those smaller groups are church. Well, we try to do that. Well, I'm just saying we do what we can based on where the congregation is. Okay. And every church is different in the way that it communicates. There's no doubt about that. John, next question. What can we do to help people move along in growing up to be like Jesus? Because that's the purpose for the family of God, is to help people grow up and be like Jesus. That's clear. I mean, we went back to the Ephesians 4 passage. Have I got that on there, John? Yeah, go back to that for a second. Ah, thank you. So the reason why God gifted the church with people who have gifts of being apostles and prophets and teachers, evangelists, and all that, is so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach the unity in the faith, in the knowledge of the Son of God, and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. In other words, that we grow up all together and individually to be more like Jesus, which in that fancy term is what sanctification is all about, becoming more holy, becoming more like Jesus. And that's what we're about. So, back to the questions. Sorry, we're dodging in and out here, bobbing and weaving. What can we do to help people move along in growing up to be like Jesus? Because that's really what the church is supposed to be. Okay? Grow it, exercise it. How do we do it? Tim, sharing life? Sharing life and asking the questions. You know, one of the worst things that we did by relegating faith to Sundays was then we only accidentally bumped into people at the grocery store. Does this make you understand what I'm saying? So we then didn't have to deal with, we didn't deal with our church family, our family of God that we're a part of, because what we've done is we've kind of intentionally not shared life. That makes sense? And sharing life is always inconvenient. For the reasons we've already talked, because it takes vulnerability. It takes, you know, the ability to sometimes actually deal with hurt. Okay, because imperfect people are messy. Y'all know that, right? Okay. Each one of us is imperfect. Each one of us makes life messy, sometimes for ourselves and sometimes for others. So this thing of how do we help people to grow up to be like Jesus is very important. So sharing life. That's a core value, core issue. Yeah, Anthony. Do you really have to put it that way? You can look at it like the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit just comes alongside of us and lives within us, right? And convicts us. Okay. So sometimes just being alongside of somebody, them knowing that we are there, that we are with them, is what we need to do to make sure that the environment is set. I'll be honest with you. If people want to grow, there ought to be a way that they are engaging if they really want to grow. Whether it's engaging the Word, engaging the body, engaging a mentor, somebody that can help them grow. Okay, I guarantee you, you know, if we were doing that even more, that we would see more people growing up in different ways. Okay, I mean, you know, that one of the things that I don't like more than just about anything else is the idea that everything about faith in Jesus goes on between your ears. That wears me out, okay? Because it's not true. We can't sit on our blessed assurance and think that salvation goes on between our ears, okay? What it is it goes to our hands and our feet and our lives and what we do and what we, you know, yes, how we think, but and the choices we make, but it's all of us. It is our lifestyle. It is our life. And we realize we can't do that by ourselves. And that's what family of God's all about. Just like You know, the idea of, you know, if you're a baby, you're set in a family for a reason. God put you there in a family. And that's so that somebody would care and take, you know, direct and teach and provide and then, you know, teach, correct, rear, and all that stuff. And we got to do that in church. Got to be God's family. People grow up when all those things are taking place. So how can we do all that more effectively? How can we help people grow up? Okay, we need to be constantly having this conversation about how do we help people grow up? Because it certainly isn't just tell them to memorize more scripture or just to come and show up at this teaching time. That does not do it. Anything else going on in your mind? Vulnerable, accessible, or faithful, available, teachable. You know, all the... All right, John, next question. What in people stifles their desire to grow up in Jesus? Now, this may you may think, that sounds a whole lot like question number one up there. Well, maybe it might. I don't know. Yes, Tim. Okay. Go on a little bit more. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, who load up bundles on people's backs. I think that that reinforces to me what you just shared is why people need that one-on-one part in their life. Because there's people that those things are best caught and taught in a more personal environment than in a classroom environment. Because you can never cover. I mean, you know, most of Christendom, when they teach what they teach on a Sunday, they're on a schedule called the lectionary. And it's like, I can't remember if it's a 3-year cycle or a 5-year cycle. I think it's a 3-year cycle. They try to hit the major stories of in the Bible at least once in every 3 years. So it's why they're on a plan. Okay. Even then, to think you're going to teach that principle or that story once every 3 years, you know, that means that you're thinking that those people have got to be around enough to catch it once in 3 years. If you do it broadcast style. But individually you can cut through a lot of that. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Right. But you didn't have to trust what it said, did you? So the issue is the Bible is alive. The question is, do we come alive to it? And while it touches each one of us and can speak to each one of us and what's going on in our lives uniquely and individually, that doesn't mean that the Bible doesn't have foundational truths across the board that we all have to acknowledge and understand. Like, you know, love, forgiveness, you know, mercy, grace, those are things that it may touch us individually differently, but the reality that that's a part of this gospel, that never changes. That Jesus Christ died on the cross, was resurrected 3 days after that, and now sits at God's right hand, that doesn't change. And that could change, and that can even change in each one of our lives how He does that. Doesn't change the fact or the message of the gospel. It just changes our response to it, our understanding of its life and breath, right? Yeah, yeah, sure. Or reinterpret, you know, none of us can step back into history and know what did or didn't happen. We have certain information that we do have, and to try to then go back and postulate certain things and make it sound like we know for a fact, we don't. All we can do is, again, it's a matter of faith. We act on faith that it is the way that it's been passed down, then we take on faith. I think, John, is there any more questions? Is that it? So how can we instill a desire in people then to be mentors and shepherds? Okay. If we're going to grow up to be like Jesus, then at some level we are all supposed to do those things that Anthony's talking about. You know, I've heard certain church families, you know, emphasize the idea of trying to be a Paul for somebody and be a Timothy to somebody. And a lot of what Anthony explained was that he has that kind of relationship with Dane, or has had that, and then he has tried to reach out and do that with others. That's the Paul and Timothy thing. And that every believer qualifies for that. nobody doesn't qualify for that. And I just, you know, what do we do? How can we do this better to communicate that we all have this opportunity to be mentors and shepherds to somebody and of somebody? Does that hit you? How does that question hit you? Mm-hmm. Okay. It takes intention, doesn't it? Yeah, that's a good point. So one thing that we need to be aware of then is this whole idea of being engaged in the family and the idea of seeing who God wants us to be. And it's that we need to take up that responsibility to be mentors and shepherds. And it may mean that in order to be able to fulfill that, we need to go find somebody to be a mentor or a shepherd for us. And in our congregation, that happens in life groups and one-on-one. That's how we do that. And that we can have the courage to say, I want to spend time with you because I want to live or learn what it is you know and what you do. We need to have more people asking that question. Brian, would you pray us through here?